talking to some of the best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Hour number two, Saturday morning extravaganza at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Sitting here talking food with Big Joe Dubin, the guest today. I don't know what I've lost my mind, but
I mean, did you run out? Honestly, we have a great relationship. You ran out of people. Right, that's why you
well,
asked.
Well, yeah, you're easy. I'm going to ask you one question and leave. I'm going to go out and listen in the car.
Oh, my gosh.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's things are good. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I usually have an agenda or
right.
notes.
Yeah.
I don't have anything with you. Nothing.
You got like 17 pages.
Well,
there.
Yeah, that's all the high school stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 17 pages is your all the warrants outstanding for you.
That's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been in trouble with the law.
Really?
Remarkably, I've never been in trouble. I mean, I've got a speeding ticket here and there, but I've never been in trouble. And I tell you, and people are like, "Oh, I bet you raised hell as a kid." Yeah, I did. But when single mom, you know, my mom was the greatest mom ever. I didn't want to put any more on her. Right? I didn't want to give her any more trouble, any more problems. So I was a good kid. We had fun. We raised little Cain here and there, but I never was one where the cops come looking because I didn't want to have that pressure. And I always laugh because my coach in junior college, first day of practice on the board, had here's three things you're going to follow. You don't embarrass your program. You don't embarrass your teammates. You don't embarrass your mom. And I've always remembered that. That's the first thing we walked into our meeting room. We saw that.
You know, I got arrested in Bowling Green. I was at a Hilltopper Athletic Foundation function. Hadn't had anything to drink. Nothing, fine, everything.
Yeah.
And I got pulled over by a cop because I was dating his sister.
What was the cause? I mean,
I was dating his sister. I mean, so.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I went to jail. They didn't put me in. The Commonwealth attorney called him up, and I went back home, and the sister came over, and she spent the night.
How do you explain that to your parents?
I didn't. I was an adult.
Oh, okay.
I was an adult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense then. Yeah. So, anyway, I've been good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, what do you want to talk about? I want to talk about three or four different things.
Sure.
Let's start with MTSU football. Obviously, you, Chip. Tonight, what, you got Marshall,
yes,
what, it's on 93.3, go ahead and plug, when's your...
Yeah, 4.30 is the pregame with J.P. Plant and Dick Palmer.
Right.
Chip and I take over at 5.30, games at 6 at 93.3, GoBlueRaiders.com, station down in Murfreesboro, I mean, you can find it, 18 different places.
The loss to Austin Peay is going to be a tough one to get over, period.
Yep.
But, and it sort of went under the radar going on the road and winning at Nevada.
Yeah.
That was a big, especially how they did it.
So, I don't know if you saw Austin play Austin Peay played Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Austin Peay's.
It was almost a one-score
you know
game
me
in
FCS.
The fourth.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost a one-score game. So, I think Middle underestimated Austin Peay.
Right.
The new student performance center there felt good first game. Middle's got some new guys in, really good. Austin Peay's really good. I mean, they are really good, and they went on. They hit the portal as well. They got a quarterback from Ravenwood, Chris Parsons, who was going to Mississippi State, now at Austin Peay, and they got some NIL money, and they played. That's a good – and now they're ranked 8th or 9th in the FCS poll. But it was a butt-kicking. You can't lose to Austin Peay.
And it's not as much we could talk about the football component, but it's the perception.
Yes. It was bad. It was really bad. Then you go to Wisconsin, and – for 2.5 quarters, you're toe-to-toe with them. I mean, you are toe-to-toe with Wisconsin. They don't convert a fourth in inches, and they lose the game. It goes down. Nevada last week, you're down 13-0 in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes to go, and you have been in the red zone 4 times, 0 points, and it just clicked. I'm telling you, it was fun to watch. They score a touchdown. They get the ball back, go down, score again, win 14-13. And Nevada's kicker misses a 56-yard field goal. I promise you, it would have been good from 80. when he missed it, the ball was near the top of the goalpost.
Yeah.
It was just wide left and middle one. So that was good. Now you got homecoming tonight, and I was telling Coach Mason this week, I was like, you know what? The best taste in the world is winning. And once you taste it, you want more of it. And so.
Well, what it does, it validates everything you put into it.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. And I said, does it? Do you think the guys understand now what you're trying to do? Say, oh, yeah, they do. So, got to go out tonight, but you got to do it again. You know, it's homecoming. Marshall's not the greatest team. They've been pushed around pretty well. I mean, Georgia moved them up and down the field and all that. But you got to win tonight, you know. And so you win tonight, you springboard something pretty good could happen down in Murfreesboro.
Speaking of Marshall, their new AD, Gerald Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Austin Peay that helped, you know, keeps hiring these coaches that go somewhere else?
Well, yeah. Tony Gibson, the coach at Marshall, was a former Cumberland University assistant coach.
Yeah.
In fact, he took Walt Wells' job at Cumberland when Walt went to Eastern back in the late 90s.
How's Walt? Your soulmate, your boy, your brother at Eastern Kentucky.
He's doing well. It's tough. They're losing guys left and right to the portal.
Yeah.
Left and right.
But it's also, you have. It's got to be a turnstile. You've got to have them bubbling up to you, right?
Yeah. And I think the thing now is these coaches know that when a guy comes in, they're gone.
Yeah.
You got them for a year, and you're gone. So when you talk about, well, last year when they went into this, last year doesn't matter anymore. I mean, Middle's got like 65 new players, so 65. North Texas has like 71. I mean, so it's changing. So you can't say last year we did this to that. But anyway.
Can I give you an example of something? Because, you know, I do the TSU games.
Yeah.
You know, they're like everybody else. They're, you know, 20 of their two deep depth chart, maybe 90% is portal.
Yeah.
Right? They played North Dakota State, defending national champion in their own world up there. North Dakota State, Montana State, all of that. Their two deep depth chart, they only had one transfer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
only
one transfer.
Well, they know they can make the league from North Dakota State. It's happened. So he's got guys, you know, there's one coach out there that tried to poach some of his players, and I'm not going to name any names, but his son's a backup quarterback for the Browns. And so they're trying to come in. They're everywhere doing that. But, no, he's good. And, you know, you understand this. A lot of the young people don't. I mean, there's a lot of tradition in Eastern Kentucky.
Well, I know it all too well, being a Western Kentucky guy with Roy Kidd.
Roy Kidd's one of the most influential football coaches. I mean, overall, yes, but at that level, I mean, he's one of the all-time. So, but Roy Kidd gave his stamp of approval when Walt got hired. Walt's his guy. So it really, people are like, well, you need to go out of the box. It's not. Roy Kidd's like, nah, Walt's my guy. So that helped. And then winning also helps. He's done really well up there. This is his sixth year. COVID year was awful. I mean, but they still won games.
Yeah.
So he's doing good. They take on West Georgia today down in Carrollton, Georgia. Used to be called Georgia Southwestern and a few other names. So, West Georgia's ranked 14th, I think, in the top 25.
That doesn't resonate with me. I usually know a lot about a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know West Georgia.
West Georgia.
Yeah.
It was Georgia Southwestern for many, many years.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, now they're West Georgia. But they're ranked in the top 15, and Austin, Tennessee Tech's ranked in the top 15.
Hey, so Bobby Wilder's done a hell of a job up there.
Right? Yeah.
At Tennessee Tech.
Really
yeah.
good. So, I mean, you
they come to town next Saturday to play TSU.
Oh, it'll be a good game. Yep. So, I mean, what it is, you make a difference where you are. So if you're the program, if you're at Tennessee Tech, and you can go out there and say, all right, I'm going to play my tail off, somebody's going to find you.
Oh, yeah.
So take advantage of where you are. Middle got guys that do that. Heck, they lost two or three guys to Michigan State in the last – that are starting at Michigan State. They got two or three linemen at Georgia Tech who are starting. It happens. But while they're here, use them. It's a two-way street, man. Yeah. I'm using you while I got you, and that's what's going on. So they got a
big contract laborers.
Yes,
basically, they're contract laborers.
That's just all they are. Yeah. So, but you win tonight, and then now you're 2-2. You go on the road to Kennesaw, and there's a few winnable games coming up, and it's all. That's why I love college football. I mean, every Saturday you get an opportunity to show how well you're doing and what you can do.
101 with Greg Pogue, Joe Dubin, big Joe Dubin.
Yeah, get it, man. Get it right.
Yeah, whatever. You and Chase every day now, noon to three on 102.5. You moved into that slot.
Love it.
I know you.
Okay? Right?
Yeah, I know you. You're having fun, aren't
well,
you?
Well, it's fun, and it's thing. You know, I did the show with you for 5 years. I'm now done with Chase for 2.5. I would not do another show if it wasn't you or Chase. I can't do it because
that's nice.
I can't. I like to have fun. And Chase, we laugh every day because we'll start talking Titans, and I'm tight and exhausted, right? They're terrible. What else can you talk
about?
Well,
can I just tell you what? I don't give a rat's ass who the backup left guard is for the Tennessee Titans, okay? I'll just tell you.
I'm with you.
I don't care.
I got Titans fatigue, and Chase will roll his eyes, and I'll laugh. And we talk about this. I mean, you got to talk about him. It's an NFL team in town. But what – I mean, am I giving you anything – am I pushing the car forward? Are we stuck in neutral? So I'm trying to find stuff to have fun and make it go forward. But we have – you know, we do other things that make it fun and go on. And I mean, we created celebrity birthdays, you know.
Yeah, there's some things in there that we did.
Right?
I mean, it's, I go, hey, and you're using I go, that's my line. You're using my line.
I use your line. We use the 98% of the world, 2% of the world against oxygen.
Yeah, well, you said 3% the other day.
3%.
Yeah, and it's 2%.
I use that one all the time.
Yeah, it's like 2% of the world's against oxygen.
I love that line. And then on a more serious note, you know, Chase and I do a lot of things outside the station, right? A lot of stuff isn't paid, which is fine. Expands the brand, money will come all down the line. And people ask, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I always use your line.
Oh, my gosh.
I always use your line. I say, I do it because one day they'll stop asking. That's it. Pretty simple. I mean, I got to give a speech on Tuesday, and it's for an organization down. They have a lot of money. I'll go do it. Somebody said, why are you doing it? You're not getting paid. Because one day they'll stop asking. And the fact they're asking me is payment.
You know where that came from? Did I ever tell you?
Is that Hope Hines?
Yeah, Hope Hines and Joe Biddle, the late Joe, asked me, why do you go on that Channel 5 Plus with Hope Hines and you don't get paid?
Right.
And I said, one of these days he's going to stop asking me.
Yeah.
Right? So
exactly it. That's the truth. So we do it all the time. Yeah. And I think on the radio, on TV, you have to do things outside your job because people know you and they respect you. They want to hear from you. And it's good to get out and talk to people. I've always done that. I've always, to me, that's as
well. You're building your brand.
Yeah.
Let's call it. I mean, it's a business. It's, you know, you're investing in yourself.
Yeah. So if a business says, hey, I want to advertise, mm-hmm. because I see him out everywhere.
Yeah.
And I know if I see him out everywhere, he's kind of indirectly promoting me. I'm down with that.
Well, it's all that. If you don't bet on yourself, who will?
Exactly. That's my thing about my Facebook posts. I've always liked my Facebook posts.
Yeah.
And people are like, why are you doing that? I'm like, if I don't like it, how do I expect you to like it? Right? So,
by the way, I mean, my Facebook page has been hacked.
And still?
Still. And I don't know how to get it. You know, I know you, Mike Oregon, you've been
mine was hacked. Yeah.
Yeah, I was hacked and everything. And the only thing I used it for is promotions and my grandbaby.
Start a new one.
And my grand. I know.
Start a new one. I found a dude on the dark web. I'm not kidding you. On the dark web.
What are you doing there?
And I paid him $600, and he got my Facebook page back.
What are you doing on the dark web?
That's where I was told to go.
That scares the hell out of me.
And I went and I got my page back. It was crazy. It was about 6 weeks. I'm like, what's going on? Because I got so much. And when I got it back, I did the two-finger and I went, you know, in authentication thing.
The two-finger.
And I went in. And
I got that on the way here.
Two-factor. So I did that.
I cut somebody off and he hit me with two-finger.
The two-finger, two-factor authorization. So what I did, I went back and got my page and I kicked him out, the guy from the dark web. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, see you, man. You did your job.
Trust me, he's right over there.
He was gone.
He knows where
you
are. I'm fine.
Start a new one.
I will. I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to do. All right. My gosh. I knew this would devolve quickly. 101 with Greg Pogue, Joe Dubin. We're at Roy's. What about this place?
I smelled it. I'm not kidding you. 2 blocks away. Because I got to the South 19th and Main Street, whatever the road is. And I went to the stop sign, and I smelled it.
We're so late to this party. We are so late to this party. I mean, they do all of our cats catering for training camps. You eat it. You know, you and Chase, you know, do the play-by-play.
So good. Yeah, God. So you smell it. The guy's cooking on the sidewalk. And
he's out here right out front. That guy right there is a rock star. Hey, I tell you what I did. I did the show last week. I did the Tennessee State game. I got off the air about 8 o'clock. I came over here last night and watched the second half of the Vandy, South Carolina game and eating their leftover grilled stuff.
My God.
I mean, yeah. We'll get you a biscuit.
You eat the leftover grill. It's probably
took it home.
Better anything in town.
We got to do something called a commercial break. Let's do
all
that.
Right, we got
right
that.
Here. All the Big Joe 101. Oh my gosh, 94.9 The Fan. Oh. Presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Big Joe Dubin. He's not a guest. He's just an interloper. He's an interloper.
Oh, you had people cancel on you. Like, hey, man, you mind coming over here real quick?
Do you
quick?
Know who's doing this next Saturday?
I heard you tell Coach Spears.
I mean, she did it about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Vicki Yates. Okay.
Great.
All right. I mean, she even said it on the air. I said, I mean, I used the example. What's the Cindy Crawford that infomercial where there's this melon in the south of France that she rubs on her face? And I said, you grow those in your backyard, right? Yeah, she's 70. She said it. She's 71 years old. Looks like she's 39.
She does.
She's still doing
Tennessee Crossroads,
And I told spouse Robin that if we run away, I'll send you a postcard.
that's great.
She's going to come, and this was her on-air suggestion. She's going to come and be the host and interview me.
Oh, what? That'd be a 3-minute show. What's the other 57 minutes?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, man.
Why is it important for you to be local? Because you're hyper local.
Yeah.
Okay, you're hyper, period, but hyper local, but certainly with high school football, but in general.
Well, I think because I grew up here and, you know, like a Rudy or a Hope, I saw the impact they had in the community of being local. When I was at Channel 2, it's 2007, people ask, you know, do you regret not getting a job, taking a job someplace else? And an agent had called and said, hey, you ever thought about ESPN? I'm nowhere near that good. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want to go live in Bristol, Connecticut. I don't want to do it. Nobody knows who you are up there, right? But here, they do. They know who you are, who you want to be. And I'm like, this is where I want to make an impact. My family's here. I grew up here. There's a history here with all that. And I just thought being here. And I'll tell you a quick story. In 1984, Al Jerkins came to McGavick High School football practice because we had a player of the week, a guy named Dwayne Morris, great football player. And Al Jerkins came to practice to give Dwayne an award. And we were like, holy cow, that's Al Jerkins. We were just mesmerized. And I'll never forget that moment of seeing just a local sports guy. I'm like, I want to be that. I want to be able to walk into a practice and give back and say, hey, we're going to highlight you, spotlight you, high school football, which means the world to me. That's why I do this on Friday. That's why local is so important. Man, I can go get Titans news anywhere. I can't get Glenn Cliff Hillsborough on radio on Friday night. I can get it here, right? We get all this here. We got to take care of our backyard. We'll take care of our backyard. Then they're going to go someplace else. So local is, and that's what Chase and I talk about on the show all the time. We got to take care of our own. Then we figure everything else out. That's why local matters to me.
What's the difference between Big Joe and Joe? Big Joe on the go,
right?
Big Joe Dubin and Joe Dubin.
Well, I think the Big Joe is the community guy. You know, and I'm big on helping nonprofits, the animal rescues. My dear friend Tanya at Dreams and Wishes of Middle Tennessee, just helping people. It takes nothing, no more energy to help people.
Are they two different people, or is it all just?
I mean,
one?
It's all the same, but people like if you go somewhere like Joe Dubin, nobody knows Joe Dubin, but you put the Big Joe up. Oh, okay, and so you use that to help people and go further along what they're trying to get something to do. The Joe Dubin is a big fan of the Irish goodbye. That guy likes to stay away. I mean, I'll duck out in a heartbeat and he'll never see me again and sit and watch TV. I do a lot, you know, I love to write. I got a lot of writing inspiration for you.
We'll
get into that in a minute. I think you might be the greatest writer I've ever come across. You're the smartest man I've ever met in my life.
The stakes are already free, okay?
You're the smartest man I think I've met in my life. Your writing is really, really, really good. So I like to do that and get away and spend time. You know, I love my kids. You know, and that's a big part of my life. And
tell me about being a granddad right now.
Oh my God! Tell me, you know.
I know.
It is. She's 11 months old.
Yeah.
And uh, I I've never, when I held her for the first time, it wasn't emotional. It was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I tell you why. Because I saw my grandpa. I saw my mom. I saw generations in that little girl. And I told a dear friend of mine, he's like, well, what else was it like? And I said, it's great because she doesn't know my story. She doesn't know the screw up that I am, the bankruptcies early in my life, the repossession. I mean, she doesn't know that. All she knows is me, grandpa, and who loves her more than life itself. And it's beautiful to have that.
Oh, yeah.
And not have to worry about anything else.
Well, and with me, that's my baby girl's baby girl. And the first time she walked and ran up to me,
yeah.
I pulled out my wallet and said, here, here's the deed to the house.
I like the video you had of her. Was she rearranging your office? Was that what it
was? Oh, the ones where
stone stuff up and right?
She's a little, I can't say that word.
Yeah,
She's already a little poop.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It's life-changing. How many books you written?
Five.
Name them.
Create the Chaos was about breaking into TV and getting over the hump of people telling you no. Mm-hmm. And that's how that was my TV journey. The next one was Screaming at God. And that was in the middle of all these dark clouds, God always has a bright light. You got to find it. In the middle of everything, there is a light. There's a sliver of light and hope that you got to find. And I found that in bad things in my life. Third was Lord, Please Don't Hit That Mailbox. It's about raising kids and coming of life and being a dad, because I was teaching my son how to drive. And I tell people, the perspective of driving a car is one thing. But when you're in the passenger side, that mailbox is close, right? I mean, my son's driving, I'm like, oh, God, please don't hit that mail. And he's not going to hit it, but you're sitting there next to that on that side. So the perception is 2 feet away is like night and day. So that was Lord, Please Don't Hit That Mailbox.
Sort of the bumper guards, right?
Yeah.
Of life. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was fun. Just stories about raising kids and growing up in Nashville. And then the fourth one was We All Walk Together, the mental health stuff. You know, and that's done well. I mean, just get people, we all walk together. We all walk together, no matter black, white, young, old, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. We all walk together. And I want us all to go the same way. And it's a book about celebrating. I can't celebrate me if I can't celebrate you. I want you to succeed and be well. Then the last one was, you know, Nashville the last 5 to 7 years has been just knocked down. It was like, it's called Nashville, We Still Love You. Just stories about Nashville, places that are no longer here that made Nashville, Nashville. And the first book, Create the Chaos, is for sale in the Harvard bookstore. And I didn't believe it until I ordered it from the Harvard bookstore, and I have it in my office, unopened, which is fascinating to me. And the last one, they've all done well, but the first one and the last one have really made a pot. I'm hearing from people I've never heard of in my life. I met a guy, true story, at 7-Eleven last week in Hermitage. He's like, hey, I bought your book. I bought six more for my friends and family. I always wanted to meet you. I was like, let me thank you. You're the hero, not me. So, but people like, you've written a book. They're like, well, I want to write a book. I'm like, well, why haven't you? Well, I'm like, just stop it. And though I go back to my speech, one day or day one, it's up to you. One day I'm going to write a book. Oh, I'm writing a book. It's day one. And then once you do that, once you get off your butt and start writing, it's easy. I've self-published them on Amazon. It's easy. If I could do it, anybody could do it. So the books have had a positive impact on so many people, and I'm so proud of
them. Is it therapeutic for you?
Oh, my God. It is. I mean, it is. So I write for Main Street Media, like 15 newspapers. And so I take those articles I write and I put them in a Google Drive in a different headline and category and just get them out there. But it's just fun to sit down and create something. Now, I've written two fiction books, and I've got one that is out there. I've been rejected 88 times by publishers, by literary agents. And it's 65,000 words, but it's good. My next one, it's around 55,000 words. It's also a fiction book. It's good. I mean, those two are going to pay for my granddaughter's education. I'm telling you, you'll see them on Netflix within 2 to 3 years. That's how much but it's just fun. I got poetic license. Sit down, create, write, and everything, and it just takes off.
Is it just stream of consciousness?
Yeah. I have a beginning, middle, and end. I know the beginning, and I know the end. And then I put everything put the cake in together. Mm. But the endings are great, and they I don't know. I'm really excited about it. I get up in the morning. I go to the gym every morning at 6. I'm done by 7. I sit outside on my deck from 7 to 10.
Well, I mean, going to the gym, do you do anything in it or just look at it?
I look at Jim. That's his name. Hey, Jim, how are you, buddy?
Man, you're a gym, Jim.
And I write in the morning. But I did this podcast with Jill Jelinek the other day, and she's so wonderful. And we talk about life and patience and things. And, the line, good things come to those who wait. And I'm like, no, they don't. Great things come to those who get off their butt. It's the proven theory. Great things come to those who get up and go and do things. You're a prime example of that. We could all sit around and be satisfied with the 8 to 5.
I don't have anything to do.
Right? The 8 to 5 sitting around.
I got 14. I got 14 hobbies that I get paid for.
Right? And so I tell people, I mean, why settle? I think God wants us to be wonderful and amazing and not average. So that's what I do every day. I mean, that's my world. And I love it. And I went. We have to go to the break.
Yeah, in a minute. Go
all
ahead.
Right. So
we don't have to hit I just told Christian Skelton, our producer. I just said we're not in the world of being out at 11 and back in by 15.
Right.
We're not in that world.
Well, it's funny. I tell people, I went through a really dark spell 3 years.
Let's hold that. I want to talk about that because you have made that a platform publicly, so I want to ask you about that.
Perfect.
All right, 101 with Greg Pogue, Big Joe Dubin here, 94.9 The Fan.
We've got that.
You're listening to 101 with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Greg Pogue, Big Joe Dubin, guest, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville, every Saturday morning. Prep football talk. Bubba Spears is him and Chase are doing a really good job on that Friday night.
They're great. And I love Coach Spears because he harkens back. I played for Wes Elrod at McGavick, and I love Coach Elrod. And I see a lot of Coach Spears in him, old school coaches.
Jerry Pig, Wes Elrod, that whole thing. And we're kindred spirits when it comes to high school sports in general, but particularly football.
Oh, absolutely. So to have a Coach Pig or a Coach Elrod or, Pot Graves.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hated Pot Graves at McGavick. Hated him. Now I love that man because, he was like, he's on my butt and everything. He was great. I that's what a coach does. And so I hear Coach Spears, some of my ex-players come back talking to him all the time. It's a wonderful thing. And high school football is still a wonderful thing of building, and it's just building you and become – I'm on a group text every day with, 15 ex-players from McGavick. We're all in our 50s, and we all share that common bond. So to talk to Coach Spears and all that stuff, it always brings me back to some great moments of high school football.
You close your show, you and Chase, you close your show every day with what?
Well, mental health's a big thing for us, and I went through a really, really bad place where I felt that taking my life would solve everything, and it was going to solve nothing. Here's how God works. It was October 23rd of 2003. I hit rock bottom, and I was done. And by the grace of God, I'm here. 2 years later, my granddaughter's born. On October 23rd. It's remarkable to see what could happen. But I want men to know that there's hope. The collateral damage when someone takes their lives is everlasting. I've seen it. And I don't want anybody to go through that. We all have friends who have done that. And I want people to talk. And Greg, I'm telling you, and Chase knows this, and our producer, Nick Frazier, knows this. The amount of men who've reached out to us in 2 years – remarkable. It's remarkable. It's private. It's confidential. Nobody's going to know their name. I'll never tell you their name. I just want to know that you're doing okay and you're getting help. And that's it. It's so important to me that men's mental health is out there in the forefront because a guy one day called and says, well, you got it all. You're on TV. You won awards. You got a radio. And blah, blah. I was like, if I'm the example of God at all when I've been that rock bottom, I'm telling you. And if I could talk to you to say get some help, then I've accomplished my goal. So it's important that we let people know that, especially men, that you are loved and our world is a better place because you are here. And I tell this story real quick. There's a great documentary called The Bridge about people who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And they get their backstory, and they found one guy who survived. And they asked him and said, when you jumped off the bridge, what was the first thing you thought about? He said, why am I doing this? I want that to be a minute before you decide to do something bad to yourself. Why am I doing this? I will pound that message every single day. Really thankful to our friends at Cromwell Media, Bud Walters and Sean Fort and Chase McCabe, who have said, all right, let's do this. You got the avenue, take it and go with it. And we talk about it every day. We have people calling every time. We talk about it all the time. Please talk to us. Let us know. Because when you talk to somebody, it's tough for us men because we're big and bad and tough. You know, we got it all. No, we don't. We need each other. So it's very important to me that mental health is out there. We talk about it, and it's a priority. Because, I need you here. Our world is a better place because you are here. And just to know that you are. And once you know that you're loved and you're blessed and people pour into you, it's a good thing.
So one-on-one with Greg Pogue, Big Joe Dubin with the guest. All right. Favorite restaurant? This is top of the head. First thing to come to your mind.
Favorite restaurant? Yeah. Fletcher's was mine in Donaldson. And when they took – and I understand why he had to go. That was mine. Favorite restaurant now? Santa Fe on Broadway Parkway?
Yeah.
Love Santa Fe. It's really, really by Opryland.
Yeah.
I like Santa Fe. It's really good.
Yeah, it's been there forever,
too. It's like an old cantina.
Yeah.
I like that place.
All right. Favorite actor?
Don Johnson. Love Don Johnson. I love Miami Vice. I love everything Miami Vice. I love Don Johnson.
You want to be Don Johnson?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
If there's a place for a very overweight Vice cop.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not handsome.
That was Cannon.
Oh, my gosh. I hate you. Oh, God.
I don't know where that'd be.
Yeah. That would be me.
Favorite food? What's the last meal? What is it?
I like chicken stir-fried rice. I love that. Teriyaki sauce. I love it. We had it that night in Albany. We arrived at 3 in the morning at the casino. We had it there. That was really good.
That is true. There, that
right.
That casino in Schenectady.
It was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chinese food was good.
The Chinese restaurant stayed open till what? Two.
It never closed.
Three. Yeah.
I think it was open 24/7. So that was good.
Yep.
Always good. Yeah.
And that was a fun trip.
That was a fun trip. That was a good time.
Favorite vacation?
Key West.
Okay.
I've been with the kids to Panama City and all that. Key West to me is heaven on earth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what, go down there to party. Yeah, you go down to the party, have a good time. But that's as far as you can get in America in a car, Key West. And I'm a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. I saw the Coral Reefer Band Monday night at First Bank. Mac McAnally, I mean, I could spend 2 hours talking about how great Mac McAnally is. And Key West to me is the destination. Just a vibe.
Bucket list vacation. Where do you want to go you've never been?
Probably Rome. I'd like
Rome.
To see.
Yeah. Why?
The Vatican, just the history there.
Colosseum, all the, yeah.
Yeah. Second would be, I'm getting more and more, I'd like to go to Israel. See Nazareth, you know, Jesus walked and all this. I mean, to me, that's important. But I think Rome right now is number one.
Yeah, I'm doing my bucket list. I haven't even told my wife this. I'm doing my bucket list next July. Going to Scotland for the Open Championship, the British Open, at Royal St. Andrews.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Maybe the sun will shine because it never shines over there.
Don't care. I start worrying about the weather. I'll let you know when I can control it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, those are places, you know. I want to see America first. Like last week we went out to Reno, you know, in the Sierra Madre.
Do you know who lives in Reno that I bet you don't know?
Yeah, Duncan Stewart.
Yeah, did you?
No, I didn't have time.
You know Duncan Stewart's real name?
Duncan Keith?
No, Stuart Leith. Duncan Stewart.
I thought you were going to say Stuart Little there for a second.
No, I'm not. your favorite sports person. Your favorite, mine's Robin Yount, okay?
Right.
I mean, I just, you know, who's, if you got one, you only got one, don't give me the runner-up.
Joe Namath.
Why?
I think he's the most influential, important person I've ever played football.
just the Broadway Joe component of the Super Bowl.
There's never been anybody like him before or after. Yeah. Just the way he AFL, NFL, went to the AFL. Commissioner hated him because he gambled. He hung out with the boys, and he was the pop culture hero. He was.
He looked good in that fur coat, didn't he?
All that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, and he was a hell of a player. Yeah. His knee. Had he played today, there'd be surgery. He could still be playing, but he was beaten up, pushed down. I mean, he was a legend at Alabama, legend in the NFL. The Super Bowl III beating the Colts, guaranteeing a win. I mean, that's stuff legends are made of. Joe right. Namath is that legend.
Who do you pull against the, me? Who you pull against the most is St. Louis Cardinals. I tell people before Putin invaded the Ukraine, I'd have been for Russia before I would the Cardinals. Who do you want to lose every game?
Trent Dilfer. I can't stand what Trent Dilfer came in here and did. Thought
at
he
Lipscomb.
Could do high school football, being Mr. Billy Badass, was a disaster. He's a disaster at UAB. Nobody believes in his nonsense. I can't stand Trent Dilfer. I can't stand him. And it's just something coming back when he was high school, the way he tried to transform high school football here and make it something.
IMG.
Get out of here.
Yeah. You're starting quarterbacks from California.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell a parent that you're tight end, oh, we love you, tight end. And you bring in three tight ends from California, like a college.
Yeah.
You know, I could go 75 high school coaches in Middle Tennessee that are better than Trent Dilfer and have won 2-3 games, 4 games a year, 5 games a year. Because they're good men. I don't believe he's a good man.
All right.
Can't stand him. They play Tennessee today and hope Tennessee drops 100 on. I'm not kidding you. Hope Tennessee beats him by 100 to nothing.
Christian, pull that to Trent Dilfer soundbite, and we're going to send it down to UAB. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back and wrap it up with Big Joe Dubin, 101 with Greg Pogue. Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. All this presented by Freeman Webb on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Big Joe Dubin. Dane.
Say what?
Dane
brings
is
out
in
the stars
house.
Today.
Yeah. He walked off his porch and fell into Roy's like a half block away. We were talking just off the greatest high school athlete you ever saw. I'm going to tell you mine real quickly. You jarred a memory. Pensacola Escambia.
Oh yeah,
Emmett Smith, and I. Back in the day, before I went to work for the Banner, I was living down at Gulf Shores. I had a distribution company. I'd come back once a week to Bowling Green, go back down there, and I was writing for the Mobile Press Register covering Baldwin County, which is Foley, Gulf Shores, the largest county east of the Mississippi, and Pensacola. I went, and Emmett Smith would get to, past the line of scrimmage, and he wouldn't look to go to the end zone. He would look to find somebody he could run over.
That's great.
He said, I'll get to the end zone in a little while. I'm going to have somebody try to tackle me first.
Oh, that's 85, 86?
Yep.
So mine was, I'll never forget, it's 1983. We're playing McGavin. We're playing Overton. They had the number one player in the Southeast, Keith Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it was a moment where, and we're playing at McGavick. There might 10,000 people. I mean, it was packed. And I'm on the kickoff team. I'm like, oh, my God, I've never seen this many people. Anyway, first play of the game on the kick, Overton gets it. They get it. Keith Davis hits the ball. And he's running back. He gets knocked out. One of our guys knocks Keith, and he's laying there. We're like, and we found out it's Keith Davis, number 43. And we're like, oh, my God. I mean, we just knocked out. We're going to win this game. He's done. And we're celebrating. That's high school. We didn't know better back then. So he's like, he's done. You know, they run a play nowhere. Well, the third play, they call a timeout. He comes jogging back in. We're like, oh, what's going on here? He takes a sweep and goes 80 yards and scores. Greg, I'll never forget watching Keith Davis go down the sideline thinking, I'll never forget this moment. And we lost that game 10-8, our first game of the season. Keith Davis went on to play at UT. Had he not had a knee injury, he'd have been in the NFL. He would have been like an Emmett Smith. Keith Davis was amazing. And he had the hype and was in the paper all the time. and just watching. That's why I love high school football. I'll never forget that moment of him getting knocked out and then scoring a touchdown.
What are you going to do when you grow up?
I hope I don't grow up.
Yeah. I think you're well on the way.
I play Powerball and Mega Millions all the time. If I hit, I'm going to Key West. If one of my two fiction books hits, I'm going to Key West. Going. I got to be near palm trees, cool breezes. I use this line all the time from Miami Vice. I want to go somewhere where the water's warm, the drinks are cold, and I don't know the names of the players.
MTSU football. What's the game? You got conference USA season opener, right?
I mean, it's not.
None?
They're in Sunbelt.
Marshall's in the Sunbelt. That's right. Good Lord, I can't keep up with
them. They all
anymore.
Change every other week. So.
But,
yeah. 3 o'clock today, Marshall, MTSU. And I love Chip. I'm telling you, you play-by-play guys, you were one of them. The preparation. I mean, Chip's got 78 pages of stuff everywhere. How he prepares. It's pretty good. And we have a thing where when Middle scores a touchdown, that's his time. I shut up. Middle scores a touchdown. That's Chip's time to shine. He did it last week versus Nevada, the missed field goal. He's great, man. He's just a wonderful human being. I love being with him, and I'm grateful. I've discovered gratitude in my life. I knew what it was, didn't know what it meant. Gratitude to me is everything now. And I ask God every day, grace, love, and forgiveness. Thank you for that, and especially gratitude.
You know, you need to add a fourth to that, right?
What's that?
It's coming off the grill here at Roy's at 11 o'clock.
Well, I'll give thanks for that, too, as well. But no, thank you. You know, I love you. I think the world of
well,
you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're a good man, and I love being with you, and Chase loves you. Thank you for what you've done for us, man, and I really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you saying it. We upgrade big time next Saturday. Vicky Yates.
Throw this one away.
Yeah, burn that tape. All right. Hey, Christian Skelton, thank you for all the job you did. There's all the job, man, and the one, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. Everything. Thank you. Hey, football all the way around. Vanderbilt over on 102.5. You got MTSU on 93.3. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.